This is Vectis Radio.
Now, there's always a date on the horizon that I really look forward to, and that's when people like you come in to the studio, Dean, because it's great. It's great to have you back.
Thank you.
Dean from Star Signings is in, and we were talking just now off-air about you chomping on your nuts, and you cracked a tooth.
I have indeed.
I'm off to the dentist this afternoon.
Good luck.
So thanks for that.
No problem. Can you get my crown sorted? Because I've got to wait another week.
I did this a couple of years ago, chomping on some nuts, and I broke a tooth as well.
Oh, it's miserable.
It is. Mm. That's what we got to get used to at our age.
Oh, don't. Everything's going wrong.
Now, Dean's got Star Signings, and Star Signings is... What is the address?
It's 42 South Street.
It's South Street.
Yeah.
Because it's opposite Morrison's Coffee Shop.
Yeah, next to Event Card Shop.
And we established last time that it was a burger place back in the early 1980s.
It was indeed, yeah.
Little tiny little Aladdin's Cave, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, it's lovely.
We popped in a couple of weeks ago, and we could spend hours in there just looking and just reminiscing and so on. Yep. What's new since then? Because you're forever turning stuff over, aren't you?
Yeah.
If you're pardon the expression.
Yeah. last week, as you know, Ian, we've got up at the New Rembrandt Gallery, we've got our movie and music memorabilia up there. Sharon and Martin and myself, we've got like a little partnership. Just taken up there last week, there's an unbelievable Heath Ledger Joker piece, which is just stunning. There's a fully signed Rolling Stones has just gone up there, a beautiful Amy Winehouse with The Mount is a Back to Black album with the autograph and a plaque telling all this signing details. Just brought in for you to have a look at the Laurel and Hardy.
I'm going to take a picture in a minute.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Looks fantastic.
Yeah, really, really nice. Dynamo, you know, the magician Dynamo.
Yeah, the bloke walks on water.
The guy walks on water, yeah. And there was a Bowie that was up the road that went straight away. And then there's a beautiful Bob Dylan from the 69 Ireland Festival.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what we try and do with things like Dylan, I had a Jimi Hendrix. We had one or two others that played the 70 and the 69 Festival. We always make it an Isle of Wight piece because it's nice to have that kind of connection with the island. Mm. That these people, you know, I mean, Bob Dylan played on the island.
You forget that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
No one's ever mentioned Bob Dylan to me playing on the island.
Yep.
Obviously, they talk about Jimi Hendrix and make a big thing of that and other bands too. But
The Doors.
Of course he played because they were on about John Giddings trying to get him in to do the festival.
That
at
would
some
be
point.
Incredible if he could.
All those years later, it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it
really I think would. It's, what is it, 50-year anniversary.
Mm. We've got to take a picture of that Laurel and Hardy movie. We've got to do that in a minute. When you're in mid-flow and you talk, I'll just nip round there and take a picture, all right?
Oh, my word. And then I'll have this empty wall to stare at.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No problem.
No pressure.
That'll be fine.
So we said about some, and I'm in limbo here because I popped in to see you a little while ago, and I'm definitely going to come to you and get something for my son, who's a football fan. He started off as a Portsmouth fan,
mm-hmm.
and then felt really badly let down. And I think a lot of it is his mum pushed him towards Portsmouth because she was a Liverpool fan and I was an Arsenal fan. So he went for the neutral.
Yeah.
But then he decided that he was going to support Arsenal. So. And I'm now thinking, right, okay, his favourite player, every year we get him a Mesut Ozil, it's no secret, we get him a Mesut Ozil Arsenal shirt, Mesut Ozil on the back and so on. And then it looked like he was going to leave. And then I came in to see you and you said, well, I suggest that you let the transfer window go through and then see where you go.
Yeah.
Well, he's still there, hanging on by his teeth. But there is talk of him going in January.
Right.
Because he's not best pleased at the moment.
Yeah.
So... I don't know whether to or not, and I sort of very subtly asked him, you're like this, I said to him, what happens if Ozil goes then? What are you going to have on the back of your shirt then, thinking, well, we'd better get the picture of him instead? And he said, Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Ah.
Brilliant.
Whoops.
Yeah, so I really don't know what to suggest now. I really don't. I Ozil is still there but hanging on. Do we go, you know? So I reckon what we'd probably do is, hey, look, he's there until January anyway. and it'll be getting it for Christmas, but he might leave 5 days later.
Yeah, with everything crossed. One thing that I always say to people is, with the transfer system as it is now, with players moving about all the time, and this is something that I've done in the shop, I've moved more towards getting what you might call the legends. So it might be worth getting something maybe from the Invincible side when Arsenal went the whole season without being defeated, or maybe a Thierry Henry signed shirt, you know, something like that, which they are never going to move on, and not they sure. are iconic players of Arsenal's history. Because, again, I don't want people to buy something that within 2 weeks,
yeah,
it's almost they don't want. So what I've done in the shop is I have moved towards more legendary players of each of the main clubs. Mm. And this is probably stupid of me, but for certain sides, if somebody's coming in and they're buying a gift for their grandson and they want to buy an Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain picture, if I have doubts that they're going to stay, I will be completely open about that, and because I would rather somebody have something on their wall that they're going to treasure. Because you imagine little Johnny or little Jane, 10-year-old, gets Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain signed picture for their birthday or for Christmas. 10 days later, he's off out the window. They are going to be devastated by that, and that isn't then going to be something that they hold so close to their heart. So I always try and push people towards the legends, which I think I did when you were in the shop.
Yeah, Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis Bergkamp. Tony. To any of those. You cannot go wrong with those.
No. You can't change it.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. And whatever happens with Tony Adams, he is always going to be the captain of that wonderful side of the late 90s, early 2000s.
Absolutely, yeah, and he was a legend. But to some women, he'd still be that bloke that's in Crossroads.
Absolutely. He's still in, isn't he?
I don't know whether he's or not. You've handed me a folder.
I have.
Oh, wow.
I like "oh wow." That's always a nice
okay,
one.
Okay, so these are a folder. It's a folder with just photos. They're in obviously cellophane wrappers to protect. And there's some wonderful ones here. You got two female footballers there.
Yep.
That's not the one that's in the news at the moment, is it?
No. It's not Eni Aluko. Again with that, Ian. What I try and do is there are a lot of people when we were growing up. Boys played football, girls played netball. We can't get away from that. Now, brilliantly, everybody's playing everything. And I think that it's nice to represent the fact that it is so diverse now and have things like England women footballers. I've Definitely. Got England women's cricketers in the shop. You know, we won the World Cup.
Yeah.
The bits that you're looking at now, a friend of mine went over to the TT at the Isle of Man this year. And he got me loads and loads of TT bits. And if you also look on there, there are some photos of the guy signing them, which is always a nice thing to have. Because unfortunately, one of the problems with this industry is that there are forgeries.
Yeah.
You know, and there are people out there that want to do things that aren't right, you know. So it's always good that Shaky Byrne, who is a great British super bike rider. Rod got those for me. Rodney Warne got these for me. You know Rod? Do you remember
Rod?
Yeah.
I used to go down to his house and have jam sandwiches.
Jam sandwich.
Just got a sausage sandwich at your house and a jam sandwich at his.
Yeah.
See how it was poor? He was part of Pan. Lived on Pan.
It certainly was. See, we were sausage. We were in Balcroft Drive, of course.
You were, yeah.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Just by the cut there.
You That's right, 38.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Rodney went and got these for me at Brands Hatch. And again, as you can see, there's photo proof with them, which is always important. And I've gone from, when I first took the company on, the people that had it before me, they were called A View from the Terraces, and they were purely football. And Mark, the guy that I get my bits from, Mark McLennan, who is the authenticator on the Channel 4 show Posh Porn.
Right.
Mark is the guy that I get my bits from. He kept on and on and on saying, Dean, do football, but do other bits, do other bits, do other bits. And in the end, I relented, and it's the best thing I did.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely. There's some cracking pictures
here.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you're into the old... I mean, I was into the old Speedway. I mean, this is. I don't know too much about the old motorbiking situation, but there's some beautiful bikes there and really, really nice clear pictures, and obviously you've got pictures of them signing as well. So yeah, I mean, I've been in your place a couple of times, and have you you've got boxers, you've got I did notice some. Who's the man at the moment when it comes down to athletics?
Mo Farah.
I mean, that is a one person that you could now go, right, okay, he is something that you would want on your wall, and even if he didn't run again, it wouldn't matter.
No, absolutely.
Because it would never, you know, that was Mo Farah. He was the guy that did. I mean, crikey, he's did and done and so many different things. And I mean, he's Sir Mo.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get the title. Did he sign it, Sir Mo?
No. It's very rare that you get anybody with a title that does it. One of the people that used to do it was Sir Henry Cooper.
Right.
And he would sign his pieces, Sir Henry Cooper. But the majority of them, they don't have that they don't use that title with their autograph. Again, with Mo Farah, what you're getting there is you are buying a moment of British iconic sport in history.
Yeah.
And again, it's down that line of, well, he's never going to go and run for Germany, for example. He is a British icon. And that Super Saturday in 2012 at that athletic stadium, because I should say it's not a football stadium, it's an athletic stadium, and it looks beautiful as an athletic stadium. It looks totally ridiculous as a football stadium, because you're about 300 miles away from the pitch. Yeah. But anyway,
Do you know what? Let's stay on that track, because okay. What's nice when you come in is, yeah, we talk about what you've got in your shop, and we also put the world to rights as well. And, you know, we should point out that, I mean, these two pictures, by the way, amazing. We'll come back to them in a moment.
Absolutely incredible.
All right, so you're now thinking, listener, what is he looking at? It's two amazing pictures.
And it's not me and Ian.
No, no, they're holding trophies, aren't they?
No, we certainly... I think the last thing we won was 1980 when... sorry.
Yeah, I've got two brothers, or two half-brothers that supported West Ham, so that was a desperately difficult day.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Where were we, Dean? We were talking about West Ham.
We were.
Being so far away from the crowd and all that. I have this vision, and I think you're absolutely right, and I think that's why Arsenal have got problems now ever since they've gone to the Emirates. It's too big. They play beautiful football, but the crowd doesn't play a part anymore.
No.
They're not it's not as intense... No. As it used to be. It was quite intense at Upton Park.
Oh.
You know, you were right on them, on the crowd. I mean, you know, Queen's Park Rangers is probably one of the smallest grounds there is, and you're right on and they benefit so many times at home.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, the atmosphere is electric, and, you know, the away team is quite an intimidating place.
Yep.
That being said, I'm just wondering now, and I know there's many things wrong with English football at the moment, but we always seem to play in big stadiums. So... I know some people will say, well, hang on a minute, we won the World Cup at Wembley and there was that track around there. How do you? But crowds have changed since then. The atmosphere has changed. And we don't play to our strengths anymore. Whenever England play now, they play in mainly big stadiums, and they don't have that intense home support, that intimidating atmosphere anymore. They play, and as I say, proof this week, they played at Wembley, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And the crowd were booing them at points in the game. And you just think, that, hang on a minute, if you're in a smaller ground, go back to the days of Highbury or somewhere like that, and you're right on top of the opponents, they're going to feel like uncomfortable. But we don't have that anymore. It's a joy to come and play at Wembley if you're an away team.
Yep.
Same with Arsenal, whoever they play at home. It's a joy because the fans are not on top of you. They're not intense. They're not in your face. And I think we're missing the trick there. So I can honestly see the disappointment of being a West Ham fan now, because you've moved houses. You know, all that history is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tell you, just digressing and going back into the shop, there was a wonderful picture, and I think we mentioned this before, that I was bought from your shop by an ex. Liverpool fan, so I mean, she won't last long. But she bought me this amazing picture, and it's Highbury and the Emirates, an aerial shot, and that you just don't realise how close they were together.
No, absolutely not.
Incredible photo. Anyway,
but what you've got from that, sorry, Ian, what you've got is back to, I think that football fans have changed massively. Mm. When I used to go to West Ham in the 80s, I went without expectations. I went without kind of preconceived ideas. And I think one of the problems, maybe problems, but with this kind of gentrification of football, and I think it's great because we've made it more family friendly, we've made it much better in that sense. But what you've got is you've got a situation now where I think a lot of people sat down on Monday, and I think they might not admit it, but they thought, right, I'm sitting here, if England go 1-0 down, I'm going to start moaning.
Yeah.
And I think they were waiting for that to happen.
Or turn over.
Exactly. And I think, like with Roy Hodgson, I think we have also got deeply uninspiring managers of the... I can't remember the last inspiring manager that we've had at England. You could probably say Hoddle, but with what I've got, problems I've got, you know, I'm not a great Hoddle fan. I think
no,
his
sure.
football was wonderful. Really, really wonderful.
As a Spurs player, he was incredible.
Oh, what a
player. As a manager,
player.
Don't rate him at all.
What a player. But I would presume you go back to Venables in 96.
Maybe. Or maybe you've got to go even further and just say Bobby Robson. We got through to the semi-finals of a trophy. Yeah, in 96 we got through to the semi-finals again. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from there. But the best man never to have got the job has got to be Brian Clough,
isn't
it?
Absolutely.
We've gone downhill from there.
Yeah.
And I still believe that if Clough would have got the job, it would have laid the foundations for the future of no-nonsense approach to, you know, international management.
Exactly. And you would have had... The kind of suits that have run the game back then to now, they would not have had the power, because what happened was they gave the job to Ron Greenwood, who obviously is a West Ham icon. They gave the job to Ron Greenwood instead of Clough.
Yeah.
And Ron Greenwood was a suited man.
He was a yes man.
Exactly.
For the FA, perfect.
And Clough was never that.
Mm.
What Clough was, you know, madness at times. But what an inspirational manager.
Yeah, he was. Incredible.
Unbelievable.
Taken Nottingham Forest out of the old Division 2,
yeah,
straight into Division 1, win the league 1 year, European Cup next year, and then backed it up with another European Cup and another league trophy.
Yeah, and Derby in the
yeah,
70s. You know,
absolutely.
Took them from obscurity in.
Absolutely amazing. So we have this conversation at home, because I'm like you. You know, I'm very vocal when it comes down to the old England thing. And any kind of football. So there I am on Monday night saying, oh, we've just got the wrong manager. Gareth Southgate is never, ever going to amount to anything as an international manager. And my wife just said, well, who would you have then? And I thought, well, my answer to that question would be the guy from Bournemouth.
Because I think
Eddie Howe has got Bournemouth into the Premier League and kept them there for two seasons, and most people didn't give him a hoot. So you just imagine what he could do with some really, really, really supposedly world-class players.
Yeah, very decent players.
So would he be your man, or is there someone else?
If you're going English, British, then I think you've got... There are two. There's Sean Dyche and there's Eddie Howe.
Sean Dyche is...
Yeah.
I think he's done brilliantly well at Burnley.
Yeah. Not... would I... It not great, but then done a brilliant job. But it, and again, without being rude, because my side's a small side, Burnley don't have the pressures of an Arsenal, of a Man United, of a Man City. Bournemouth don't have that. Bournemouth and Burnley, their priority at the start of every season, and this is where I think football in the Premier League especially is in trouble, is they've got to get to 40 points.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the cups. Don't worry about anything else, just get to 40 points. And that's why people like Tony Pulis, whose football I dislike intensely, will always have a job. Because Tony Pulis will launch the ball long to a big centre forward, you'll get knockdowns and you'll score the scraps.
Yeah.
You'll have a ratter in midfield who will do what he does and get stuck in and in the old statement, let them know you're there. But that does not help English football.
No, it doesn't.
Because you're not... Now, you know, I hear lots of people say, oh, we've got to play with more passion. Oh, we need to do this. No, we need to play with our head. The days of launching it long and chasing it have long gone, because what happens if you play that against Spain, you launch it long, Spain get the ball back, you don't get it back until you're kicking off for it because they've scored.
Yeah.
And you see how many times in an England international, the times we give the ball away so cheaply, so easily. Dyer did it again, and I mean, he did it for a goal the other game. He did it again, and it almost led to a goal on Monday night. We need to be able to control the ball in a much better way. Another thing, one of the commentators on Monday, Joe Hart knocked the ball to, I think he knocked it to Gary Cahill, and he had a player around him. Well, if you're watching a Spanish game, they wouldn't even think about it.
No.
The commentator had apoplexy because of this had happened. Oh, you can't do that, you can't do that, get it forward. But we're never going to get anywhere if we do that.
No.
Unless you say, right, what we're going to do is we're going to put Peter Crouch up front.
Yeah.
We're going to put a little guy around him, and we are literally going to get it, and we're going to play long diagonals to him, and we're going to try and get a couple of runners from midfield, and that's how we're going to play.
Yeah, we should play with, not Peter Crouch, too old now, they should go with the bird from Game of Thrones, the real tall one, about 8 foot tall.
I've never watched Game of Thrones, but don't tell anybody.
Hey, look, I've got to be honest, there's a lot of kids that walk around with Real Madrid shirts, probably just a little bit more Real Madrid than Barcelona shirts.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Okay, so my son is a big fan of Lionel Messi and this fella as well, and that is an amazing picture. There he is, holding up the... What is that? Is that the European Super
Cup?
That's the Super Cup that they won. That's old... what's his name? Cristiano Ronaldo. If you've got kids that are running around in a Real Madrid shirt, and you think they've got all the shirts and so on, that would make a brilliant present for Christmas.
It would look beautiful.
Signed. How did you get that then?
Again, through Mark.
What a job.
I know.
You got the short straw. Mark goes off to the matches and gets a picture and a signature, and he brings it home to you.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with it. Mark is based in Basildon. And he is one of the, probably certainly Europe's most renowned autograph collectors and authenticators. I'm a member of AFTAL, which is the Autograph Fair Trade Association Limited, which Mark and Dominic Manning set up to ensure that what people are selling as AFTAL dealers is actually what we're saying we're selling. And it is. With the Ronaldo there, often you see where the loop is, Ian. If you put your hand across the bits underneath, you'll just see almost like a loop. That is often the autograph that you get. Okay, I'm really lucky with Mark. He will refuse to have those autographs. He will only have what you see there is the full Cristiano Ronaldo autograph. If Mark is given or offered one that isn't the full autograph, not interested. Because there are, you know, I mean, I see people that get in-person collections of autographs. I know they're genuine, but they're rushed.
Yeah.
Like, for example, they're at a Tottenham, come out of their training ground, they stop at the lights and the lads run at them. They open the window and they'll sign, but the autographs aren't of the best quality. They are absolutely genuine, no problem. They are hand signed, but they're not the type of quality that Mark will get.
So the Mark must be getting on in years, and he's just as old as us.
Yeah, he's a little bit older than us.
Because I'm turning the page and I'm looking at that and thinking, I'm trying to work it out, and I think 1986, isn't it?
Yep.
1986 in Mexico.
In Mexico.
That's Diego Maradona with the World Cup and a signature as well.
Yep.
That is incredible. So that, again, you know, put that in a frame, and that is going to go incredibly well on anybody's wall. And there's another one there of the same fella. He only lifted it once, didn't he?
You could say he won it in 86. And then in 90, if you remember, we lost to Germany in the semi. Yeah. Germany played Argentina in the final and beat them easily. And then in 94, he scored that goal, went running towards the camera
Oh, yes.
like he was... He was on something. It proved that he was on something. Yeah. And he was subsequently banned. I don't know if he certainly didn't play in another World Cup. No. I don't know if he played another international game after that ban.
No, they sent him home as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
That. Yeah, quite right too. And that is, I mean, when you think of probably the most charismatic English footballer, Paul Gascoigne is the one he's got a signature there. I can't see any other players, but I'm guessing that's the one. Is that against Scotland?
Scotland.
96,
yeah.
And is that after he scored that goal, that terrific goal?
Yeah, well, if you remember, he went and he did the dentist chair because before
back
in
to the dentist.
Exactly. Sorry about that, Ian, but I want to go. I'll go for you, honestly. I've had enough of looking like Oscar Wilde at his trial, trying to cover my mouth. He did the dentist chair, and that's him going back to the halfway line after they had the celebration.
Right.
And obviously it's a nice autograph.
How long have you had that then?
The Gazza, I've had that probably about a month.
Right.
Because I've got a Gazza on the wall. What I do, Ian, is I often will buy. If I buy in bulk, not in bulk, but if I buy a certain amount, I'll get them a little bit cheaper and then I can pass that on. So I've got a lovely Gazza actually doing the dentist chair on the wall in the shop. And then when I sell that one, I can get a mount cut for that, which will have Gazza 96 cut in the mount with a plaque and all the relevant signing details.
They do look amazing.
They are lovely, yeah.
You've got a guy that does all the plaque stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, that's all. Everything that we do, the mounts are made on the island, the frames are all made on the island. I think it's important that we try and, you know, that the mounts are done in a little cottage industry, and my frames are made up at the Rembrandt Gallery.
Local stuff, that's what it is. Oh, crikey, we're taking a right down turn in a minute, though.
Yeah, I know.
We're going from Lionel Messi.
Yeah, don't.
Beautiful picture of Lionel Messi, action shot as well. And I turn the page and I've got... It's Anne Widdecombe.
Yeah. Yeah. What?
Just remind me, Dean, who did she play for?
She played up front for Ayr United. Yeah. Mark knows my politics.
Ah, what a rotter.
Yeah, exactly. And he sent me, I don't know if I told you, he sent me the other year, a Margaret Thatcher. And he said, here you go, Dean, you'll love this on your wall, won't you? And I wasn't the greatest fan of Margaret Thatcher, as people who know me will know.
We were talking about her earlier, Dean, and the air was blue.
I can imagine. And he did the same with Jan Widdecombe. The idea that I'm going to put that on my wall, to be honest, what I've got with these is I'm doing kind of... At Christmas, we have everybody... You know, in offices, they have Secret Santa.
Yeah.
I'm going to do these type of things for a fiver each in a little mount. You can do Secret Santa. And I've got stuff like Shane Ritchie, which I've got, which is quite a nice little one.
Yeah.
I've got a couple from Coronation Street, a couple from EastEnders. So I'm going to do those because one of the things is everybody comes in my shop, they think that it's going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds, and it's not, as you know.
There are some
high-end bits. Of course there are some high-end bits, but there are also some nice kind of almost like jokey things. And there are some nice, like the Ronaldos and the Messi. They go for around about 100 quid each. And that's fully framed, fully signed, and with that beautiful mount on
them. Wow. I'm looking through a catalogue, okay? So we've gone from Ronaldo to Messi to Widdecombe. You turn the page and you've got Pelé.
Yeah.
I'm guessing 1970 could be the World Cup final.
I think that is the final when he... Did he
score a set one up?
Yeah, I know he set up... Who was it that scored that goal? Was it the fullback that scored the brilliant goal, the overlapping fullback, whose name...
Can't remember.
No, I can't remember.
I'm thinking Jairzinho, but I think that was years on, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Jairzinho played. I think he did, but again, I'm not sure.
Tostão
may well have been.
Scored one.
Yeah,
so beat Italy 4-1, didn't they?
That's right, in the final. Mm. Yeah, that's from that World Cup.
Wow.
Where he didn't
Pelé. He is old, this guy that's got these photos for you, isn't he?
Mark?
Yeah.
Mark's a little bit older than us, but not a lot.
Not a lot,
no.
Crikey.
No, just in case he's listening.
Oh, wow. And then I haven't got a clue that is, Dean. It's a West Ham player.
Yeah. we actually, now, that one there, Ian, we got ourselves.
Right.
So I didn't go, but a couple of the lads that helped me out, that I paid to go over, they went and got that. That's Mikel Antonio.
Right.
He'll be the next one that West Ham sell.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to keep hold of decent players.
And then you got the legend.
Ah, I bought that for yourself. I bought that so you could see it.
Look, if my mother-in-law is listening, my father-in-law, because they both know you and they both know they love the dog.
Yeah,
he's love
beautiful.
The dog. And they said last time they listened to us, they said it was such a great hour's worth of radio. They never said that about any other hour that I've done. And they've just said, when you get Dean back in, you know, say hi. And if they're listening, which I know they are now, so you know that will make a great Christmas present for me, Jackie. If you're listening, any scales
for Ian, Jackie.
There's a Tony Adams signed picture there, and that is just. And do you know where I would put that?
Go on.
I would put that at as I go down, you know if you play at the Cop and you go down the stairs,
yeah,
there's a thing and everyone taps it, and
yeah,
that's where I would have it, top of the stairs as you walk down. That's where Tone's going.
Good.
So Jackie, if you're listening, that's what I want for Christmas.
Sorted.
So we're just going to turn the page to do one more, and then we'll come back and we'll do some more on a Mo. We're going to take a break, and there's Fergie with the obviously the Premier League trophy.
Yeah, again, with Alex Ferguson, there you can get the autograph where he signs it, A, and then just the Ferg. But again, with the bits that I get, I always get the full autographs from Mark, because they are so much more collectible.
Sure.
You know, and they look great, and that is a really nice one, actually. I think that might be his last ever Premier League win.
Yeah.
A piece of history, you know?
Yeah, absolutely a piece of history. And I'll tell you what, he didn't have to go downhill as soon as he kind of gave up football.
Yeah.
He's like aged, like, quite a bit. It's
yeah.
a bit like that film Mel Gibson was in. Can't remember what it was called, but he was stayed young, forever young. And then, but ever since then, he looks like a real old man now. But,
yeah.
I think that's 2014, isn't it?
Would it have been, or would it have been the year before?
Possibly the year before.
Yeah, because
then
you've had Moyes, Van Gaal, and his red and white army.
I notice there's none of them in here.
Strangely enough. It's like, he also sent me, because again, I'm not a fan of Sam Allardyce.
No.
Mark sent me this most beautiful Sam Allardyce signed piece, and I don't even know where it is.
He loves a wind-up, doesn't he?
Oh, he's brilliant. He is brilliant. He's one of the best people I've ever met. He's unbelievable.
Yeah. If he ever annoys you too much, you always will say, look, I want a signed picture of King John Erm. See if you can go and sort that out. And look, we'll take a break. We'll come back in two ticks.
This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people. Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. The one-hour train ride takes you through unspoiled countryside and woodland. So come and enjoy a journey with a difference at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. For further details, visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Did you have a good day with Grandpa yesterday?
Yeah, we went to the Shipwreck Centre and Maritime Museum with Tarleton Barnes. It was amazing. They had loads of things found deep under the sea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like gold and silver coins, old diving suits, and a real mermaid. I even did a treasure hunt and got a prize.
That sounds great. Did Grandpa have fun?
He loved it, and he loved the free parking.
That sounds like Grandpa.
The Shipwreck Centre and Maritime Museum, a real flavour of the maritime world. For more, go to shipwreckcentre.com.
Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance, saving lives across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. Flying 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Our helicopter is called out many times a day, and we can reach anywhere within the Isle of Wight, including the helipad at St Mary's Hospital, within 20 minutes. Funded solely by donations, we rely upon the generosity of the public to keep us flying and saving lives. To see how you can help, please check out www.hiow-airambulance.org.uk.
Are you or have you been subjected to domestic abuse? Emotional, psychological, financial, physical, sexual? And are you male? Don't think you're alone. 1 in 6 men suffer domestic abuse. Be brave and take this opportunity to regain your self-esteem and confidence in yourself. Break the Cycle's Mind the Gap course will help you to move forward with rebuilt feelings of self-worth, self-esteem and confidence in yourself. If you'd like to take part in this 12-week interactive and phenomenally successful course at Aspire Ride, beginning in October, please get in touch. Email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk. Complete confidentiality is assured. For more details, visit www.breakthecycle.org.uk.
Star Signings Isle of Wight, the island's only AFTAL authorised dealer and a unique place for authentic signed memorabilia. If you're looking for something special for yourself or a really wonderful present, we are here with incredible gifts from all around the world. Whether it's Lionel Messi, Muhammad Ali or Paul McCartney, we have their autographs in store for you. All our autographs come fully authenticated and are sourced by Channel 4's Authenticated or gained in person by former Premier League player Steve Jones. Why not pop in to see Dean and have a look around for yourself? You won't be disappointed.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666.
Okay then, welcome back. I've got Dean. I was going to call you Saunders.
No, I'm not Dean Saunders.
Have you got a Dean Saunders?
I haven't, no.
No?
No, sorry.
Okay, he's been gone from the football world for a period
90s.
Of time. Yeah. Dean Hodges is in from Star Signings. That's a West Ham fan. And,
afraid so.
Not a big fan of the new stadium.
No.
At all. I did have a folder here. I'll check that out in a moment. But I've just been taking a picture of the Laurel and Hardy.
Yep.
Talk us through the Laurel and Hardy.
Okay, what you've got is you've got a really beautiful mount with Laurel and Hardy screen printed onto the mount with a big picture of them from one of their films. And then under that, what you've got is you've got a little picture card that has been signed by both of them in person. And next to that, you've got a little plaque, or quite a decent sized plaque with this one, which tells you all the details of their life, of their films, and what you've actually bought. The autograph came from Mark, and it's actually from one of the shows on Channel 4, Posh Porn.
Wow.
So what he can do is he can buy a collection. Hmm. So people bring the stuff in to Prestige Pawnbrokers, which is the company. And then Mark will be invited to look at them and say whether or not they're authentic. And then often he will make a bid to buy whatever the collection is. Sometimes he gets them, sometimes he doesn't. That's one that was actually on Posh Porn. Mark bought the collection, and then I've managed to have it for myself.
Wow. And it does look amazing. It really does.
That's beautiful.
And obviously there was some confusion over one of the guys, because he was actually born in Britain, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Sunderland?
I'm not sure where.
Yeah, I'm sure it was Sunderland.
Yeah, and yeah.
The skinny fella.
The little one. that's another fine mess you got me into, Ollie. So that would be Stan Laurel.
Stanley.
Yeah.
All right, and that's where's that going to in a minute?
Unfortunately, no. That will be going up to Sharon and Martin at the Rembrandt Gallery. I say unfortunately only because I love Laurel and Hardy and I'd like to look at it myself. But that's the agreement. We've got all of the movie and music stuff up there. Mm. And they've got a beautiful space. My shop is like somebody's front room. Well, it is a front room.
Yeah, but it works, doesn't it?
It works. Yeah, it works. I think there's a nice atmosphere in there, Ian. I don't, you know, people can come in and look round. There's no problem. But Sharon and Martin have got that amazing space, and we've gone upstairs in there as well now. Well, so
I noticed that every time we go along Scarrett's Lane, we have a little look in the window to see what they've got. And I know that there was the last time we looked, there was a Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
And I think there may have been a Paul McCartney as well.
Yeah, the Paul McCartney's gone.
And the difference in price was quite astronomical.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, Freddie Mercury's no longer with us.
Yeah.
So does it make a difference? Just say, for instance, if people were looking at this and thinking, right, okay, it's a lovely gift, but will people look at it and think, well, it could be an investment.
Yeah, and a lot of people, with the way that the market is now, where you've got 0% on any money that you may have invested, really, if you put it in the bank, you don't get a lot. Mm. As an example, Winston Churchill's autograph, they did a few of these. Winston Churchill's autograph, the price 5 years ago was, I don't know, let's say £600. And in that 5 years, that autograph has gone up by 24%.
Crikey.
So you're not buying an investment, but what you are buying is you're buying a piece of history.
Yeah, sure.
And back to one of the reasons that people like Freddie Mercury's autograph are more expensive than... Look at Pelé.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things is, with people collecting autographs a lot more than they used to, and it being more of an industry, there are thousands of Pelé autographs out there.
Yeah.
Hence, his autograph isn't really expensive. A lot of people think, crikey, how come it's that cheap? Well, the reason is, or not that cheap, but how come it's that reasonable?
Yeah.
The reason is that there are a lot of them out there, because Pelé does sign. He comes over to this country and he signs for a guy called Terry Baker. Now, with Freddie Mercury, he died in what,
91?
So he died in 91, and there weren't people taking photos, taking autograph books by the shed load to get his autograph.
Right.
So there are many, many fewer on the market.
Wow.
And that's why his autograph is worth more than even when Paul McCartney dies. There are many more Paul McCartney autographs. They're still quite rare, but there are more, because in this day and age, people are collecting autographs. So that's another sure. reason that there is a kind of disconnect between the two prices.
So I don't wish this upon Sir Paul McCartney at all, but I looked at the two and I thought, crikey, if he was to go, that would be worth a little bit more.
Well, what happens is, as an example, recently, Michael Jackson...
Yeah.
Okay.
He's in the window as well.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Oh, that is beautiful.
Is.
The autograph is huge, massive, and it is a beautiful piece. Michael Jackson, what happened on the day that he died, the very next day, his autograph went 200-300% above what it was the day before.
Crikey.
Because, you know, people immediately think, well, I'm never going to get another one, and all the things that happen. But then after a little while, it settles down a bit. And yes, they are more expensive, but it's not at that level.
No.
One of the things I don't do, though, Ian, myself, is if I've got a Muhammad Ali in the shop, and I had the Muhammad Ali before he died. It was £800 before he died. If you walk in today, you can buy it for £800. I don't want to, and
not
I
sure.
won't engage
big respect to
in doing that, Ian, because it's just not the way I am.
No.
I don't want to do that.
No.
I would feel in the same way as... over at New Close last year, there were some... the year before, there were some Australian Ashes cricketers over there, if you remember.
Yeah.
Before, I think there were three. There was Chris Rogers, the wicketkeeper, and the bowler, Ryan Harris. And I spent quite a lot of time with Ryan Harris, got loads signed, got the other boys to sign bits and pieces. I sold them off at £30 each, because, again, I haven't paid for them.
Mm.
So how can I justify charging a lot more?
No, you're a genuine guy. That's what I like about you, Dean. That's why you got invited back in.
Thank you. I thought it was just because I talked a lot.
No, well, that as well. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we got a whole hour to fill.
Yeah.
Which is a piece of cake, really, when you think about it. It really is. You've got lots to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so you're going to have to come back again. You have to regular visits.
No, I am yours.
But, yeah, Muhammad Ali, £800. That, to me, is like, I look at that and I think, wow, that is, you know, bearing in mind what he was.
Oh, absolutely. The icon, he rose above boxing.
Yeah.
You know, way above boxing. You know, he threw his medal, allegedly, into the water after he came back and was refused to be served a drink in an all-whites cafe. He then... obviously refused the draft because he said, they've done nothing to me, why do I want to go and kill them? Which is great respect to him for that. He then came out on the day after he beat Sonny Liston, and said, I'm not Cassius Clay anymore. My religious beliefs are, I've been renamed by Elijah Muhammad as Muhammad Ali. And he did all of that in a country that at that time had terrible segregation, had terrible problems between the races. And I think that him and Martin Luther King and others helped to bring an end to segregation and the terrible racism. And I fear that perhaps we're beginning to see it again with the rise of nationalism.
Sadly. Wake up. That's what I say to people. Yeah. But, I mean, he wasn't just a legend inside the ring. He was a legend outside of it as well.
And the way that he talked.
Yeah.
You know, if you... Dave's that brilliant one where he is saying, if you continue to talk jive, I'll down you in five. And then he just went right the way through. And it was brilliant because he was... what he was, you know, he was an incredible boxer.
There won't be another like Muhammad Ali.
No,
there really won't. I know that recently there was a couple of that were fighting, and it was a big fight, probably the richest fight.
McGregor
of all.
And Mayweather.
And have you got a McGregor or a Mayweather?
I've got both. I haven't got a Mayweather anymore. I've got a McGregor.
Well, he lost, and so you're struggling to get rid of that.
Well. UFC fans absolutely love McGregor, and he is a very difficult autograph to get.
Is he?
Really tough, yeah.
All right.
So, and yeah. And did, again, for a guy who has gone into a boxing match for the first time to go against what is widely considered the greatest boxer, certainly of a generation.
Yeah.
Not the most exciting, because he's not the most exciting, but Mayweather was... the fighter of a generation, never lost, 50-0, first man to get there with what he's achieved. And I think McGregor did himself a lot of credit with the way that he conducted himself. And he obviously got himself fit for the fight, but he's not a boxer.
No, that's
true. He's a UFC fighter.
But he's done all right financially, hasn't
God he? Blimey, I could do with a couple of quid of it. Pay your dentist bill in.
Yeah. Yeah, I might have to have a whip round later
on. Yeah, no problem. I've got a couple of quid in my pocket you can have.
We got one here that's obviously he'll always be a legend, although he didn't really win anything as an England player. He did well for Man United, but David Beckham.
Yeah.
But everyone loves David Beckham, really.
Absolutely. One of the most sought after autographs of modern footballers. One of the reasons is David Beckham is a great signer. He will sign without any problem. One of the difficulties is wherever he is, there were and probably still are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people trying to get his autograph, so it becomes more difficult to get.
Sure.
You know,
you got another West Ham one here with Pogba with an overhead kick. Oh, it looks like
it's signed by Pogba.
The only good thing about this photo, Dean, is it's one all at the time when it was taken.
Yeah, and that, I think that probably went in to make it 2-1. Oh no, actually I think we got a draw there that last season. Yeah, we got Tonkin this year 4-0.
Yeah.
But again, it's nice to get those because, again, Pogba's not that easy to get. Zlatan, all of those big names I've had in the shop, you know, and which is great.
Do you know, we're having a trip down memory lane here because you don't realise how long ago it was since Paul Scholes retired. There is, you know, again, if you're a Man United fan and you were wondering what to get, this would make a brilliant present because he was one of the legends and one of those people that only played... for Manchester United, didn't he?
Like Ryan Giggs.
Yeah. So a Scholes photo for signed photo for a Man United, a proper Man United fan. It doesn't matter how old they are as well. You know, obviously you're looking at 20 plus there to remember him, I guess. But that would be a brilliant present. And Christmas is coming. I don't like to worry too much. And I don't like this picture.
That'll mean
here.
It'll be getting cold.
I don't like this picture here.
I
have to switch that off. I can't bear to watch the footage of that.
Is it that bad?
It is. It's that bad because what that picture doesn't say. I mean, it's a brilliant photo. It's Ryan Giggs for Man United going through the whole Arsenal team and scoring in the semi-final of the FA Cup
99.
And bearing in mind that they ran up from the other end after we just missed a penalty.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
in the last minute.
Yep.
And pinch the victory.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to swiftly turn and move
do.
On.
Oh, you'll like that one as well.
Oh, crikey. Hang on. Who is that? That is...
he's on Sky Sports Monday Night Football.
Is that not Jamie Carragher?
Cara, yep.
That is such a... It doesn't even look... It looks like... Well, it doesn't look like him at all, to be honest.
I think it's the excitement that he's got as he lifts up the Champions League trophy.
I think it was the shock of...
Yeah, coming back from 3-0 down.
I remember that night.
Oh, my word.
That
me
was,
too.
That was... We forget that, you know, they did that. I mean, obviously about 10 years ago.
2005.
Yeah, 12 years ago. Yeah. Good grief.
I remember watching that one, Ian, with my dad and my stepmum. And at half time it was 3-0, and I don't think Liverpool had got out their own half, and I said to Dad, I really really hope that it doesn't get embarrassing. Gerrard comes out, scores that header, and the whole thing turns round.
Mm.
The most incredible final. And what a lot of people don't remember is when Liverpool got it back to 3-3, because they missed the penalty and they scored the rebound, they got it back to 3-3, and then the Liverpool keeper made a most incredible double save from Andrei Shevchenko,
yeah,
at 3-3, that then got them to penalties, and as they say, the rest is history. And that, yeah, piece you've got there is lovely.
Yeah, there's Jamie Carragher there. He's more, he's, you can see who it is there, and he looks so young, doesn't he? Stephen Gerrard,
yeah,
and signatures for both whilst they're holding the European Cup, which is yes, an incredible. And if you are a Liverpool fan, that is ideal. Again, couple of legends,
yep,
that only played for Liverpool.
Exactly,
a timeless piece.
Yep, yeah.
Skipping over that one.
Yeah, don't. Ian, I've got a great story of that one, so don't skip too quickly. What you've got there is you've got Winston Reid scored the last ever goal at the Bowling Ground.
Oh right.
And I wanted that for myself.
Right.
Okay, if you have a look at the picture, what's happened, because obviously people...
I'll give it to you in a minute.
Yeah, can I have it back? Thank you. One of the problems is it, when we got that, because that was got over at Southampton, it was a really cold day. And the picture has got a really dark... So people can't see it. It's got a really dark background because West Ham played against United and it was an evening game.
Yeah.
Winston Reid scored and he jumps up to celebrate. And in the background, it is the crowd, but it's quite dark.
Yeah.
So we had to get it signed in silver. One of the problems with silver Sharpie pens is that if it's cold, they don't work brilliantly.
Right.
And remember, this is the one bit that I really wanted to get done... Explain to them the autograph on there.
Hang on. Well, I don't know. It looks like Zorro. I don't know what's... Go on, explain.
Well, you can hardly see it because...
Yeah, you can hardly see
because
it,
the pen, unfortunately, the silver Sharpie, it didn't work very well.
Does it look like a willy?
A little bit, perhaps. And he hasn't got the greatest autograph in the world.
No.
But this is, again, one of the things. I two lads went over. I paid them to go over. That's the bit that I wanted. We got to him, and that's what happened. And, again, that's one of the problems with this industry, is you can do that. You can go, Steve Jones, the ex-West Ham player, who I get some of my bits from, he went and tried to get Daniel Radcliffe, and he got two done. And he waited for 17 hours over 2 days to get two autographs. Exactly, exactly. And people don't understand that. They think, well, you know, you can get an autograph, no problem.
Yeah.
But it's not that easy.
No.
And then you get something like that, which I was really excited to get. And, I mean, I'll probably just put that on my own wall.
Yeah, it was still a brilliant
photo. Yeah, it's brilliant. And I just wish it had been signed really nicely and then...
So who's the cricketer here then, Dean?
That's Chris Rogers, one of the ones who was over at Newclose
on the island
in 2015, I think, when they played against I think it was, they had a mixed side and there were a couple of the Aussie women players playing and there were some Islanders playing. And we got that signed over at Newclose with Chris Rogers. And again, a brilliant story. I spent probably half an hour with Chris with Ryan Harris. He was in the treatment room and we had a chat and he was brilliant. Went outside to get Chris Rogers, wouldn't sign.
Oh right.
Just no. Later. So we had to wait around probably for 5 hours for him to sign some bits for us. But you know, he was playing in a game, that's fine. And always with what I always say, back to the industry, if somebody says no, you say, OK, thank you, and walk away. Okay, don't have a row. I've seen people have a row about with people. If they don't want to sign, they're not going to sign.
No.
If you call them a name, they're definitely not going to sign. And the other thing, and this really does grate me, whenever I go, well, I don't go now because of my physical state, whenever anybody goes to get anything signed for me, I two bits, only ever two bits. You see the kind of professional collectors of autographs that then go on to sell it with five up one arm, five up the other arm, six underneath their shirt, trying to get 20 bits signed by the player. Well, first off, the players aren't stupid. They know what you're doing. The second thing is you're taking the mickey out of them. And the third thing is you end up with awful autographs. And when I come in next time, I'll bring an example of one of those.
Okay.
I know it's a genuine autograph, but I'll bring you one that Steve got from Frank Lampard. And Steve and Frank played together at West Ham.
Yeah.
Beautiful autograph that Steve got, and I'll show you the picture of the other one. It's genuine. They don't look anything like each other.
No.
Because the guy had got 18 football boots signed. And, you know, Lampard must have been thinking, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
You've either got a very big family, or you're taking the mickey, and I don't like that.
No, sure. Hey, look, Dean, we've run right out of time.
We've
got 30 seconds to tell us how, where, and we can find more stuff, and what will we do?
You can find me, as we said, at South Street, opposite Morrison's, right next to Event. There's a lovely little staffie who sits on the doorstep. Please come in, have a cuddle with the staffie, have a look round. I think the cuddle's probably more important to Ludo than you having a look round. In my shop, I've got boxing, I've got motor racing, I've got a little bit of movie and music, and I've got my football. Up the road, in the Rembrandt Gallery, they have got all of the high-end movie and music memorabilia. Sharon and Martin, go and have a look round, even if you just want to go and have some memories.
Yeah.
You don't have to come in and buy. If you want to chat about football with me, come in and we'll chat about football.
Right, I'll do that then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not, you're not going into
no.
a multinational where they've got no time for you. You come and have a chat with me. I'm more than happy.
Okay, brilliant.
Brilliant, thanks Ian.
Thank you for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure, really, anytime. It.